My name's Monty Rowland, and I'm with Monty Design. And I wanted to spend a few minutes chatting about the product development process and give you kind of an overview of the steps. Monty Design is a design firm that provides product development services for a wide variety of projects, from jogging baby strollers to firearms accessories to rack mount equipment like Ethernet switches to environmental test chambers to sample holders for electron microscopes. So we get involved in a lot of different projects. Less than a third of our work is B2C, or consumer's goods. The majority of our work is B2B, or business to business. Products one business sell to another. But we end up working on a wide variety of projects, and that's really nice. I think that that keeps things interesting, and we don't usually get too bored. So what I'd like to talk about is the design process and run through an outline by giving you a view of what typical project might look like. So a lot of projects start out with a client who visits our facility, and we give a tour and of course distribute plenty of company propaganda, both verbal, visual, and handouts. And then we sit down and talk. At that point, client describes the scope of the work and kind of what they would like to see come out as a deliverable. And the nature of our business is to fill in gaps. So sometimes a deliverable is a small slice of the total product development and manufacturing process. Other times it's a big slice, and where we're driving that whole process, maybe even all the way to the dock from the concept stage. But that depends on what the customer needs. But let's look at, for the purposes of this discussion, kind of a broader process. The first thing we want to do in the design process is to discover what the requirement really is. Discover what's the need for the product. Why design a product? Why design this product? How is this product going to fit the need? And get a good understanding of that scope and what's really driving the perceived need for the product forward. And also make sure that the perceived need matches up with the actual need. And being a third party, sometimes that's easier than others. If it's a very technical product and a very specialized product, then we have to lean a lot more heavily on our client. Other times where it's a broader product, we may be able to bring more to bear there and actually drive part of that double checking process. Then we sit down and we create a style board and do some research. So the research is where we look and see what the customer already, our client already has in terms of market research. You know, what do you have, any numbers? Do you have any surveys? Do you have a list of competing products? You know, what's out there that could give us a head start on making sure that we're designing the product that you want to end up with? And so that market research is critical. The internet has made that so much easier now, because you can find so much stuff, images and so forth. And then we also create a style board, and that's where we start giving even more homework to the client of saying, what style do you want? So style board is important because there are preconceptions about how this product should look, work, taste, feel. And what we have to do is dig those preconceptions out so that we can help the client move forward. And that preconception may be shape, form, color. And those are hard questions to ask, and often harder questions to answer for a client. So what we do there is try to do this visually. Well, we'll create a style board of things that we think might fit the market. And it may be pictures of cars, or it might be computers, or styles that that we think are appropriate. And then that leads to clients bringing us pictures, images, links. And then we go through that and say, okay, which ones of these do you like and why? And maybe I like the color, he likes the texture, the shape, the overmolding, the what have you. So these are very, very effective at economically getting down to the digging down to the preconceptions. And then we start making sketches. So ideation is where we start making a few sketches, taking our research, throwing some stuff out there, getting our arms around the problem. And then the next step is to, we've made a couple of sketches just to kind of confirm what we don't know. And then do brainstorming. And in brainstorming, you have a session where you get stakeholders together. And this session is designed to elicit thoughts, ideas. The important thing about brainstorming is there's no such thing as a bad idea. So what we've got to do is to not shoot down any ideas, because once you shoot the first idea down, then the second crazy idea may not come. So you ask yourself, why do you want crazy ideas? Well, you want crazy ideas because they may lead you in a direction you didn't think about and end up with a very not crazy feature, benefit, solution that you wouldn't have gotten to without going through the crazy ones. Because there may be someone in the room who can go, oh, I can make that crazy idea happen. I know how to do that. So sometimes that wish list, and that's one of the things we put together after the brainstorming session, is what do you really want? What's your wish list? You know, you can't have everything, but what are the things that aren't part of the spec, but you really think they would make the product fabulous or greater somehow if you had them? And so sometimes that wish list will include things we can do economically, quickly. And so that's an important thing not to overlook. The next step after the wish list is to start making a bunch of sketches. And this is where we take the spec, we take the results of the brainstorming, and start making sketches. In this case, we're looking for a very broad amount of ideas, concepts. And this is where the industrial designer really earns their keep. Industrial design is often misunderstood. It's not just about the shape and the form. It's also about the customer experience. It's also about having a product that fits the life cycle of its product. You gotta make it, you gotta distribute it, you gotta sell it, and you've got end-of-life issues. So the industrial designer is kind of pulling order out of that chaos and making it look nice at the same time, if possible. And so he's making sketches, or she's making sketches. We take a look at these first sketches at the end of the process and then decide which concepts to continue with. These first sketches are often hand done or quickly done with a computer. At this point, we're looking for a lot of different options, not really well drawn ones. So that's an important distinction, that as we go forward, we start spending more time on each individual sketch because we're starting to funnel down to what the final product's going to be. Early on, we want to make quick sketches that I'll call them engineering table grade sketches, that are just good enough for everybody around the table, engineers, product managers, people who are used to looking at simplified, almost schematic level sketches, can easily interpret. As we get farther along, we start having requirements to make things that need for the boardroom. Boardroom sketches are beautiful, heavily retouched on the computer, maybe totally digital, but they take a lot of time. And so early on, we don't want to take time on a single sketch. We want to take time on developing this buffet of concepts, this design buffet. So we narrow those sketches down. The second pass at sketching, we start thinking more about each concept, each individual product concept, and the sketches start becoming more specific. Finally, we get down to the point of having refined sketches. And so we reviewed the second layer. We start having refined sketches that are maybe one or two maybe three versions of the product, but they're all pretty similar variations of the same thing. At this point, we're starting to hone in on what this product should look like and feel like. Once we've decided that, hey, this looks great on paper or on the screen, then what we do is we start the engineering phase. Now, early on, we want to have an engineering involved to make sure that what's on paper can actually be designed and prototyped and produced. But this is the point where the industrial designer becomes more of a vision manager. And as this product's going through engineering and we're actually figuring where the bolts, where are the screws, you know, what, how is this product actually made, figuring out, answering those questions, the industrial designer's job becomes to watch the vision. Make sure as the engineers make decisions that those decisions reflect what the design intent of the product is. Engineers do their work. This is the point where, at this point, we've probably made some massing models, but pretty early we want to build an actual functional prototype. Once we build a functional prototype, which, and the more prototypes you can build in the design cycle, generally the better. Once we've built that functioning prototype, then at some point we've tested it to the point where everybody says, okay, I'm happy with this. We've also started making drawings. And once we have those drawings done, we can start going out for quotes. Now, a lot of times, in the midst of the engineering process, we'll make very simple drawings that are enough for a vendor to give us a rough order of magnitude quote, that plus digital files. And so those digital files will allow us to get that rough quote from the vendor and get an idea what the product's really going to cost, at least roughly. So that cost of bill of material comes out somewhere in the middle of the engineering process, as well as hopefully the first prototype. Finally, we get down to the point of building the final prototype, testing it. Once the testing results are good, then we turn that over with the drawings and the documentation we've been working on, which that documentation is more and more becoming much less about the model and more about the model and less about the drawing. The drawing's no longer king. So those step files, those IGES files, a lot of products, they're made from that, and the drawing just explains stuff that's not obvious in the computer model, or at least not easily embedded. So we transition to a manufacturer. We have some clients who have manufacturing already set up. All we're doing is handing files over and they take it and run with it. We have other clients that say, Monty, who should I get to make this? And this is a trend that has been increasing, I think, as there's this huge wave of startups. And also, I think some companies have gotten to where they run leaner and leaner, even startups. And so they just don't have that person in the corner who in the past would have handled how to make the product. So we're seeing more and more engagement along the pipeline of manufacturing. And we're in a good position too. We've designed the product, so if there need to be product enhancements, there needs to be the next generation, you know, we want to be involved with you to help you do that. Get the first one out there successful, and then let us help you do the sustaining engineering for it. And then I would hope that we've done a good enough job that you want to say, Monty, let's do the next product together. Let's take that journey. So this is kind of the overview of the product development process. I hope it's beneficial. And somewhere in there, clients sneak in a patent at times. And usually that's after the first prototype. But that really depends on the industry. But that's pretty much an overview. I invite you to come to our facility, take a look at our shop, meet our guys, gals. We can talk about any of these aspects in detail. Give me a call, 919-481-1845, or Monty, M-O-N-T-I-E, at Monty.com, or visit our website at Monty, M-O-N-T-I-E.com. I hope you have a great day, and I hope that this was beneficial for you. Monty Rowland, signing off.